right to Abdullah. Here comes Newton to the left side. 20 to the 15. Newton to the 10. Oh, no, don't score a touchdown. He houses it left side.
That's amazing.
It didn't even look like he was sprinting.
No.
It just plodding along. Now he's going to midfield. Sets the ball down and does his Superman.
Sports Radio FNZ. I don't know what I was doing there. Something about the way he was talking about now he does the Superman that just threw me all the way off there. That sound courtesy of the Panthers Radio Network. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour on a Panther Monday, guys. That was Cam's second touchdown yesterday that did make it 14-7, although the Panthers would lose 27-21. We've got the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick coming up in just about 40 minutes here. We have gotten through this show talking about this game in almost every conceivable angle, and there's yet one more I would like to get to. But I do want to start with this, because it's been about 40 minutes since we've talked about the homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Did the homecoming live up to your expectations on Sunday?
Well, given that due to some transportation issues, some logistics.
Are we back on the egress and ingress?
Yes, yeah, so the CMPD helped me. When the light is green, that means I should be able to go. I'm trying to get to my parking lot. What am I in? Lot 2. I'm trying to get to lot 2. But once I got in the building, I thought the fans were excellent. I thought that I thought Cam seized an opportunity to engage the fan base, given that the opening possession resulted in a touchdown. His showmanship was a little over the top for me. But yes, it fit the billing. It was worth the price of admission, even though technically we didn't have to pay.
I think that game, take away the end result. Because I've said that game was everything you could want it to be from the homecoming side of things, except you lost. I thought that game was 100% of what Panthers fans needed. And I can, and my proof is, because we just had Smoke Ludwig, he's producing for Willie P., who's going to be in for KB tonight. KB's on the Hornets call in Washington. Make sure to listen to all that today. Good luck to KB on the call there. Big moment for him. Very happy for him. And the Bailey family, of course. But he asked, oh, how bad is it out there? And I listen, there are people who feel about yesterday's game like you do. You were hot today, right? You're still very hot about the defense. There are people who felt more like me, where although I have real problems with the defense and I have more to say about coaching, and that's something I'm sure we'll get into this week, I felt like that's the best the offense could have played in that scenario. And I'm just happy to come in on a Monday not worrying about the quarterback position. I'm coming at it from the standpoint that Sam Darnold got as bad as you could look. Like Sam Darnold was playing like you would expect guys named Mike White to be playing.
Your terminology is stink on crap.
Stink on doo-doo. And so for Cam to go out there and get you three tuts, which he scored three tuts, for Cam to go out there and to excite the fan base with running to the 50 or running out of the tunnel in the pre-warm-ups, for Cam just to be there and to be what he had been. Listen, he wasn't Superman yesterday. That's how I'm saying. But Cam at his best, there was the guy at his literal best when he won the MVP. And then there's the guy who kept the fan base engaged for as long as the fan base has been engaged. And he had people excited yesterday. Before I went on Disney, it was The Walking Dead. Nobody wanted to talk about this team. Because we knew what Sam Darnold was. He was stink on doo-doo.
A slappy.
And so to see this fan base come alive 10 games into the year, that is 100% what I was hoping it was. It was so cool to see it. It sucked that they lost. There were reasons they lost there, and we'll continue to get into those things throughout this week and throughout the rest of the season as this goes on.
You're allowing Cam. You're allowing the homecoming. It just hit me just then. You're allowing the homecoming to distract you from what happened. You feel me? Like, you feel me? See what I did? Like, Cam played about as well as I expected him to play.
Mm-hmm. You could not have asked him to play better given the circumstances.
Now, he was fortunate. If we're being honest, if it were Sam Darnold, if it were PJ, there were two or three throws that should have been intercepted. And they could have been intercepted. some tip balls, some questionable decisions to throw the ball in a double one-point triple coverage. So I would have said the same thing about Sam. I have to say the same thing about Cam. You're making the story about Cam. And I understand that that's the narrative coming in, the homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
The game was about the defense.
So can I tell you why I'm making about the homecoming? It's actually because of what I think it means going forward. I'm glad you said that. Because you're right, that is what I'm focusing on. The game wasn't pretty. There were multiple moments that they let that game down. And when I say they, it was a team loss. It wasn't a culture loss. Yeah. We've had some of those culture losses, yeah. But it was a team loss.
Last week, team win. This week, team loss.
If Cam can play like that in that context, meaning, this was Cam Newton going up against a team. Good or bad, Washington had been playing together since August. Cam Newton has not been on an NFL field since August in the preseason.
Came off his couch.
Well, in 10 snaps against Arizona. He went out there and had the best game I could reasonably expect. So my expectation is that going forward, if Cam plays like that, if Cam can continue to play the way he did on Sunday as he learns more of the playbook, right? If you can, alongside keeping Christian McCaffrey healthy. But if those two things happen and he can continue to play like that, you're going to have a real chance at 8 or 9 wins. I didn't know going into that game, Cam's ability to play in that circumstance was a complete mystery to me. It was all hopes, wishes, and dreams. It's not hopes, wishes, and dreams now. We have something to look at and say. Your quarterback position, for the first time since week 3, that's a little unfair. For the first time since the wheels really fell off about 4 or 5 weeks ago, your quarterback position is going to keep you competitive. Now, does the defense need to play better? Yes. At some point, does the offensive line need to figure it the absolute bleep out and stop with the stupid penalties? Some penalties are going to happen. Stupid penalties have to go. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But this team was non-competitive against New England. They were non-competitive against the Giants.
Yeah.
That was because their quarterback gave them no chance to win. This guy that you saw on Sunday, I think 9 times out of 10, you win games when your quarterback plays like that. I don't think the defense is going to play like that every single week. I feel like they have the best chance to be competitive now because of what we saw from Cam on Sunday.
Yeah, like they didn't lose the game because of Cam. 21 of 27 for 189. Some people would say just 189, but in the context of how Matt Rhule wants to play, they want to play with being conservative offensively, taking some shots when they're there. We're going to play defense, run the ball, and be sound in the kicking game. Okay, the quarterback was 21 to 27. Cam did not turn the ball over. He was sacked just one time, threw for 2 tuds, ran for 1. Okay, in the run game. Matt Rhule, not enough carries, 21 carries, did get 111 yards, and you average 5.3 per carry. Matt Rhule accomplished what Panther football under Matt Rhule should look like. Cam was not to the detriment of the operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, he got sacked on the final play. I'm not going to beat him up for that. The offensive line is trash. We know that. I'm not mad at Cam, but because McCaffrey ran the route an inch short of what he should have run the route at, Cam completed the football. So I'm not saying Cam played the perfect game. I do agree with you is my point, that Cam gives this team an opportunity. I'm just choosing to look at the other things around that.
So let me ask you this then, because I think 8 or 9 wins is a real distinct possibility. They've got 5 wins right now. So that means I think they can go 3-3 or better potentially because of the way we saw Cam play. If Cam can keep that up down the final 6.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that would make them 8 wins.
Yes, 8 or 9 wins. I think that's now in play. Simply because I saw a quarterback, not only did he not lose you the game on Sunday, he also actively was a part in you potentially winning that game with that throw to Christian McCaffrey.
Question, do you think he should have ran on that play?
On the McCaffrey?
The McCaffrey route, I thought he could have gone up the middle on either B gap, or either A gap, and probably could have got the first down. And I know we're not looking at the tape right now, but I'm just in my mind.
He could have, but I loved the throw. That's I think I said it earlier. That's one of the prettiest throws I've seen Cam make since I've been here.
Touchdown to McCaffrey. I'm talking about the fourth down play.
Oh, the fourth down
play. Do you believe he could have run?
Yes, he could have run.
Do you think he should have run?
Yes.
I do too.
I think he could.
And I'm not mad at them for not going to PJ. Like, I'm going down. If it's fourth down for the game and Cam got sacked, I'm putting the ball in Cam Newton's hands. Like, Cam, go do something. Go make it happen.
So here's the question, because I've kind of answered what I think is the possibility if Cam continues to play the way that he did on Sunday. If Cam plays like that going forward, how does that impact your expectations for Carolina?
How does it impact the I had the team 6-6 approaching the bye week. If they win this week at Miami on Sunday, they'll be 6-6 into the bye.
Do you have a tweet showing that? We always like to show our work here.
No, you just got to take my word.
Okay.
Look, let's call it what it is. Because there's so much damage was done prior to Cam's arrival, this team is going to miss out on the playoffs. But the talent on the roster is a playoff team. And it's unfortunate that I think it's a little bit too late. After the Giants game, they should have made a move. They should have done this after the Giants.
So, and I think you're probably going to be proven right by that if we continue to see Cam play like this. I don't think the playoffs should be the end-all be-all. If you make the playoffs, then I'll be insanely impressed. I'm not saying that doesn't matter, but I'm saying in the wheel of possibilities, we're bringing back the wheel now, baby. In the wheel of possibilities, I think if they were to get to, from here, considering where they were when Cam Newton went out, or when they signed Cam Newton, if they get to 8 wins, if they get to 9 wins, it's still an incredibly impressive feat, considering how behind the eight ball they were 2 weeks ago after Sam Darnold not only didn't play well, but got hurt again.
If they get to, I had this team in the preseason at 7-10 when the schedule came out. If Matt Rhule gets to 7 wins, given how bad Sam was in that 5-game stretch, Matt Rhule is going to celebrate that as year two. Clearly, we're on the path to being where we need to be in year three. What I would say to Matt Rhule and Scott Fitter when we get there is, it didn't have to look like this year. No, there was an opportunity here. I love that you were aggressively when it got CJ. You went and got Stephon Gilmore. You went and got Cam. But it shouldn't have come to that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. The funny thing is, this is definitely one of those both things can be true. If Sam, quote-unquote, saves this season optically by winning enough games, but he doesn't get you in the playoffs, will we be able to say, man, what a bold move it was to go to Cam then? Yes. We'll also say the Sam move was a bigger failure than the Teddy Bridgewater move.
Agreed.
You didn't have to move on from Teddy.
Teddy didn't look like this.
Sam has now been injured and insanely ineffective. I have no idea. You asked Will Kunkel about whether Cam will be the starting quarterback next year. And I think that's really for the next 6 games to determine that, because I don't think there's any way at the end of this season you can bring back Sam Darnold and say, all right, he's going to be in the mix. I think it has to be either Cam starting, or you better be prepared to go out there with your first-round pick, whether it's the 10th pick or the 12th pick or the 18th pick, and bring in somebody to, if you just bring back Sam Darnold and say, as your starter, as the presumptive starter, you might as well tell every one of these Carolina Panthers fans to frig straight off.
I don't think there's a world where Sam Darnold comes back and starts over Cam Newton. It's, do you have a roster where, in my mind, this is where they're best served? Sam Darnold becomes a really expensive backup quarterback. Now, whether that's Cam, I'm still not out on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Kirk Cousins could be on the market. What's going on in Seattle with Russell Wilson if they have their first season that they don't make the playoffs? The problem is, Nick, this is now the third consecutive offseason. We're going to be talking about the quarterback position again.
Did I not warn everyone about this? I was right.
You've been.
Did
here.
I not warn everyone about the quarterbackless abyss and what happens when you fall into it? If Cam Newton plays like he did on Sunday moving forward, what will that mean for the Panthers of the final 6 games of the season? I'm sure that's something we're going to continue to talk about again and again and again as we get close to the end of the football season here. But from the carnage at Bank of America Stadium and another loss by Carolina to the carnage in college football on Sports Radio, FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. It is a Panther Monday here. We are panthering up, but we do have the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick coming up in about 20 minutes. Matt, hold there, because we do have What You're Burning On coming up in about 25 minutes. But we went into this weekend thinking that this could be mass carnage in college football, because there were a lot of upset alert type games going on. It wasn't every game we thought it would be, Stan, but you look around college football. Alabama had a hell of a time with Arkansas. Oregon got absolutely smashed by Utah, 38-7. Ohio State smashed Michigan State, 56-7 in Columbus.
A lot of smashing.
There was a lot of smashing going on.
Stay out of my personal life.
Speaking of which, Notre Dame. Number 8 Notre Dame putting the absolute boot to Georgia Tech, 55-0. We mentioned Clemson, Wake Forest. This week was just about everything we expected it to be going into it. There was absolute carnage across college football.
So last week we had the top 7 teams remaining unchanged, I believe, for the 5th time in the 8 years of the CFP.
No more.
No, it's going to be some movement tomorrow night. How do I think this thing is going to shake out? I don't. The wild card is Cincinnati. I don't know what to do with Cincinnati. Now, obviously,
you are the committee.
I'm just not. The committee has already told us they don't value Cincinnati's strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with the committee on that. But I cannot ignore how Cincinnati has looked in their 11 wins without defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly a great win on the road at a Notre Dame team that the committee reveres.
I think Cincinnati was the biggest winner this weekend because Oklahoma looked unconvincing in their close win at home against Iowa State.
28-21.
Oregon got smashed and Michigan State got smashed.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, Alabama didn't look very good either, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. I think that was as good, outside of Ohio State losing or outside of Georgia losing to Charleston Southern, that was about as good of a weekend as it could have gone for Cincinnati. And I'll just go back to this. I asked Bill Bender earlier in the show. Let's look at that tier one in college football. Who truly belongs in?
Georgia. That's it. That's the list.
I actually think I'm going to start putting Ohio State in that conversation.
No, not up there with Georgia. Not after that loss to Oregon.
Yeah, that was, 8 weeks ago?
Doesn't matter. Counts.
I understand why you're saying what you're saying. I don't want to discount it all the way. But I think Ohio State, when Ohio State was smashing Rutgers and people were like, oh, Ohio State's back, I didn't buy it. I thought they looked really good. I thought they beat the teams that they should have beat the way that they beat. Even the Purdue game, hanging 59 on a good Purdue team. Okay, it's still Purdue.
A Purdue team that beat Michigan?
But still, it was okay. I don't really think Purdue's one of the 15 best teams in college football. That Michigan State win to me, that was the moment where I said, C.J. Stroud is now going tit for tat with Bryce Young in the Heisman conversation.
I agree with that.
And two, it's about the defense in that game. The Ohio State defense finally showed up. Like, I love that Bender said, yeah, you know, if Ohio State, Alabama played in an even field right now, I'd love to see how that game played out. I think Ohio State would win because I think it would be a shootout.
Ohio State and who?
Ohio State and Bama.
Neutral site.
Because I don't think the Alabama defense is very good. And I think we saw that this last weekend.
I don't know if Ohio State's defense is that good.
I think it's better than Bama's, though.
Oh.
I think Ohio State's defense is performing top 30 defense in college football right now, over the last couple weeks, specific to this game, too. But I think Ohio State has finally separated themselves from Alabama.
The top two scoring defenses in the country, I just pulled it up. Ohio State, number one. I'm sorry, that's scoring offense. Sorry about that. My bad. Negate that.
Analytics.
Take that back. My bad. Scoring defense.
All remix. Right. Remix.
Georgia's clearly number one. Ohio State tied for 16th in the country, giving up just 19 points a game. Alabama giving up 19.7 points per game. So both of those defenses are top 20.
I don't think Alabama's is that good.
Do you trust Ryan Day to outcoach Nick Saban?
I wouldn't go to that level. I just think Ohio State, I think their offenses are comparable.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're two of the best offenses in college football. And again, this is less specific to season-wide and less specific to right now. I think Ohio State's defense is playing better right now, and I think that's what is the divider line. And I think Alabama leads the Tier 2 teams in college football.
I'm going to do something here because we touched on this last week, and now that the games have played out. Wake Forest, if they beat Boston College on Saturday, they win the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both presume that's likely to happen.
Yes.
Pitt has solidified they're going to represent the Coastal.
Mm-hmm.
Wake versus Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Does it for me. I can see my BDE starting to...
Oh, no. You have deflated BDE.
No, that's... But when it goes... that means it's going up.
I can't believe we're having the conversation this year. The best the conference has to provide is Wake versus Pitt.
I mean, I think you kind of got to feel the same way about the Pac-12, though. I know that the programs have better names, but like Oregon talent wise,
that's probably the best in the Pac-12.
They should be able to get through the Pac-12 with one loss. They should be able to, especially if they're capable of beating Ohio State 8 weeks ago. Let's be honest about Oklahoma.
Stop there. Here you go. You're trying to trigger me.
No. The committee has said when they put a one loss Oklahoma 13th. They showed you everything that they really thought about Oklahoma. Oklahoma should not have a loss right now.
They should.
And by the way, it's not just one loss. They should have mollywhomped Nebraska. They should have won
a
six-win West Virginia team out of the building.
West Virginia is decent.
But these were home games, and they were 7-point or less games.
Yet, Oklahoma remains number one in the Big 12 today.
Well, but the point is... I think you're saying, wow, Wake Forest and Pitt, is that the best you have? I think if I'm looking at the Pac-12 or the Big 12, I'm saying, is that Oregon team who just got the crap kicked out of them by a really good, but I don't think a great Utah team? Oklahoma, who got beat by a really good, not great Baylor team, and who could barely hang on against
Baylor's number 9 in the country.
They're two losses. That's why I said they're really good, not great. But Baylor, that's a Tier 4 team in college football.
Number 9 team in the country, Tier 4.
Yeah, I don't think put rankings into where you should be selling. That's about talent level. That's about how good you really are. That's about how well you've actually played.
Tier 4.
Yes.
I'm just giving you an opportunity to think about Tier 4. Because
Tier 2 is two more teams. It's Alabama and it's Cincinnati. And then Tier 3 is where the next part of the conversation begins for me. And that's Oklahoma State, one loss.
Baylor belongs in Tier 3.
Now, in your opinion.
A team, yes, in my opinion. A team we haven't discussed, and I'm keeping my eye on them. We asked Bill Bender of the Sporting News about this early in the program. What if Notre Dame gets – what if they're going to? They're going to smash Stanford. So you have a one-loss Notre Dame team that's currently in the AP fifth in the country. So they get to 11-1. Clearly, they're not playing for a conference title. But an 11-1 Notre Dame team, with the only loss being at home to a top four Cincinnati team, if the committee puts them in the top four. Mm-hmm. Let's call it top five to be conservative. If Alabama loses in the SEC championship game, could I sell you that one loss Notre Dame deserves to be in the playoff over two loss Alabama?
Yes. I actually think what it's going to come down to is, because I think I now, as many questions as I have about Georgia's quarterback conversation, mm-hmm. as we talk about the carnage in college football this last weekend, I still don't know that Stetson Bennett IV is a good enough player to beat Alabama. I think he's just an unremarkable quarterback if I ever seen one. He's who Alabama's quarterback was before Tua Tagovailoa showed up.
What's your issue with Stetson?
He's average as average can be. Mm. He's just a guy.
So you hate privilege?
Sure, that too. But I do think, like looking specific to this weekend, I think right now, I'm pretty comfortable saying if everything plays out the way we think it will be, it'll be Georgia, Ohio State, and Cincinnati. And then I think it's a one-loss Notre Dame versus maybe a one-loss Oklahoma State. Then I think it's maybe a one-loss Notre Dame versus a two-loss Alabama. I don't think in this scenario it should be Notre Dame versus Cincinnati. I don't think if you're the selection committee, I don't think you have a dog in that fight. I know they've tried to tell you now head-to-head don't matter. That mattered.
Which one?
The Cincy win over Notre Dame.
Yeah, the committee values that.
So yes. I think if it plays out the way we think it could be, I agree. I think you're the only person I've heard talk about Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is quietly.
But I think it's Notre Dame against OK State. I think it's Notre Dame against whatever the hell they're going to try and throw out there from the Pac-12.
See, I think
and Alabama too.
The Big 12 champ gets in. I think the Big 12 is safe because of the quality of competition.
What if it's a two loss?
I still think they're going to value the strength of schedule. I think Big 10 champ gets in, Big 12 champ gets in, SEC champ gets in. Now it becomes dicey.
I can't go back on the Big 12, which has basically cannibalized itself. Oklahoma State, I think, is their only prayer.
Oklahoma State, Baylor, and Oklahoma. OU is still atop of the Big 12, and all of those teams are quality. So when you start looking at, and I'm just looking down here real quick. Yeah, I mean, you start looking at that. The trick is Alabama. If Alabama finds a way to upset Georgia, this thing is going to get ugly because they're going to put a one-loss Alabama SEC champ in. They're going to put a one-loss SEC runner-up Georgia in. So then it's the Big Ten champ in. So now it's undefeated Cincinnati, one-loss Notre Dame, possibly two-loss Big 12 champ. Who has the better resume of Cincinnati, Notre Dame, and let's call it Oklahoma if they get there and win the game?
There's still two spots, though, right?
No, it would be one spot remaining because I gave the Big Ten champ.
Well, yeah, you've got Big Ten and Georgia.
And then the Alabama being the SEC champ. I had them in this scenario.
Okay.
So now you got one spot.
So it's Notre Dame versus Cincinnati.
Notre Dame, Cincinnati, and the Big 12 champ, even if the Big 12 champ has two losses, if it's Oklahoma.
Give me the team that's undefeated.
Well, Oklahoma has one loss. Baylor has two. Oklahoma State has one.
Give me the team that has not lost a game, and is it 3 years? Is it going on 3 years, whatever it's been?
No, I'm not putting Cincinnati in over those two. Go ahead.
If they put Notre Dame in over Cincinnati, it comes down to those two teams, Scrap it. There's no way you can defend putting Notre Dame in over Cincinnati.
They just put Michigan over Michigan State, even though Michigan State won.
That's what, week two ranking versus an actual playoff spot.
Because the second you take head-to-head out of the equation,
they've already done it. Set us up to expect that.
Well, no. They've done it once. They've done it once with two teams that were going that are in the same conference. They haven't done it with two teams on different levels of existence, one who's undefeated, like they were both one-loss teams, had that played. This is an undefeated team versus a one-loss team.
Would it surprise you if the committee put a one-loss Notre Dame over Cincinnati in the playoff, given we know it's about money, we know it's our eyeballs, even though they lost head-to-head and the strength of schedule clearly goes to Notre Dame?
Would it surprise me? No. But that's not really saying a lot because the college football playoff had done some non-surprising and shady stuff in their time together. You're just selling a fight. You're just trying to sell a fight here.
That's what I do.
Because you don't want it. Now that I've eaten my crow on Wake Forest, you don't want to eat your crow
about what?
On Cincinnati, saying that Cincinnati not will not in. Be in the playoffs.
Cincinnati
lock it
will
in.
Not. Lock it in.
Mm.
Locked. Pull the tape.
Mm.
Locked.
That felt
Cincinnati's
so good.
Cincinnati's not getting in.
I can't wait to play the Titanic theme with that statement in about 3 weeks' time.
They don't belong in.
What does the carnage in college football mean after another wild weekend in college football? Final segment of the show leads off with the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNC. Nick and Stan, final segment of the show. Big thanks to Bill Bender. Big thanks to Will Kunkel is what I was trying to say there. Good job out of both men. Appreciate their perspective on a Panther Monday. If you were feeling some sort of way because the Panthers game yesterday or anything that happened in sports this weekend, what you're burning on is coming up in 5 minutes here. Give us a call, 704-570-9610. But we got the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick for you guys. That, of course, is our daily pick segment. We pick one game. Today's game is going to be the Hornets on the road against the Wizards. And I know you felt some sort of way about the Atlanta loss. This is another nice moment.
Oh, for the Hornets,
yeah. This is another nice opportunity for the Hornets to get good on the road up against a team that, even though I think their record is a little inflated, is still a team that can be a handle in their own home arena. I think this is a good matchup for the Hornets to try and get back into the black today.
I remind you, 3 games ago, the Hornets hosted these Wizards and ended up emerging victorious 97-87 in the Hive. Bradley Beal had a quiet, I think it was a 24-25 point effort from him, very quiet, but they had to fight to preserve that one. We'll see going on the road. Hornets did not play yesterday, so they do have a day's rest. Let's look at the look at this. ESPN's Basketball Power Index calls this a pick'em. It's literally 50-50.
Well, it's ironic you say that, because the last 10 games, both teams are 5-5 against the spread. This is a really tough game with Washington being a
4-point favorite is what I have from Caesars. Yeah.
And the Hornets are not great on the road. They're 4-6 on the road this season.
Yes.
Bleep it, I'm doing it.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go ahead and take the 4.5 points in the Charlotte Hornets.
I'm
going to take the 4.5 and the Hornets.
Okay, I'll take that.
I think that's a really good bet. Right. I think that even if this game doesn't go Charlotte's way, I think this is going to be a close game. And the only game recently that they haven't covered is the Atlanta game. Indiana, Washington, Golden State, New York, and Memphis were all covers. So even though the last 10 they've been 5-5, the last 6 games they've covered the spread 5 out of 6 times. I think the Hornets here, I think this is going to sneak up on them. I think they're going to be able to get this opportunity. They'll at least cover the spread 4.5 points.
Yeah, I think that the key for this team, where we left off last week, was, and of course they played the Pacers, that was on Friday night. Hornets win 121-118 at the Hive. This team plays better when they play defense. And I don't know if it's a concentration thing.
Wait, are we talking about the Panthers or the Hornets?
Hey! I see what you did there. What is it called? Finger guns?
Finger guns. I'm the king of finger guns here at Sports Radio FNZ. Nobody tops my finger guns. Let's go ahead and get into it, guys, because we got a couple calls here. 704-570-9610. What you burning on? Let us know. We're going to start with Matt. Matt, what you burning on, my guy? You got 30 to 60 seconds to burn.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it sucks the loss is happened, but, you know, I'm looking at the bright side that this team went from maybe the worst quarterback situation in the league to a quarterback being the least of our problems. So Cam, of course, was very impressive. Did not look at all like a guy that had been sitting at home for 2.5 months as far as, he didn't look rusty at all. Some of those throws looked like the old Cam, which I was not expecting. So it gives me hope that if they can get the defense right again, they actually have a chance against, the better teams like Buffalo and Tampa Bay, which, with the other options we had at quarterback, I would have already counted those as losses. So this season's not over. Maybe they can turn it around and still make a push for the playoffs.
Great stuff, Matt. Thanks for burning. You know, here's what I will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first loss in a minute that I didn't go scorch earth off air yesterday after the loss. Like, there have been a lot of times here recently where they've lost, and it's just been, bleep this. Bleep this garbage. I didn't feel this way about this loss, and I'll give credit to Matt. A lot of that is the fact that Cam played as reasonably well as you could expect in that game.
There have been different feelings after losses. The Philadelphia loss felt different than the Giants loss, which felt different than yesterday. Felt different than the Dallas loss. Like, yesterday's feeling was I did. I walked out of the stadium feeling. And by the way, can we work on something? Why is there one gate?
Are we doing the egress and ingress again? This is the fifth time.
Why is there one gate letting me out on the Moorhead?
We know what you're burning on. David, welcome to the show. 30 to 60 seconds. What you burning on, my guy?
David, you're up, brother.
David, what you burning on, buddy?
Yes. Nick. You didn't have a lot of big energy today. You had to eat some of that crow. I don't know what sauce you was using today. And also, don't you think Matt Rhule looks like David Cross, the actor, a little bit? I don't think like that. That's all I got
to
say.
All right. One, I would like to point out that unlike other people in the sports world.
Oh, you people?
No, other people. Oh. Not you people. There are no you peoplings on the airs today. I like my job. But a lot of people in sports talk wouldn't eat crow. I've eaten a sufficient amount of crow about Wake Forest. I said they would win against Clemson.
Mm. You locked in they would get in the playoff.
No. I locked in that they would win the ACC. And thank get you in very the playoff. Much. I did not lock that in. That is a Norfleet narrative. You know what, Rob?
It was top six.
You know what? Yeah, top six. If they had won out, thank you
and
very much.
And there's a reason they didn't win out. Go ahead.
Bye, Gomer, to you. Rob, welcome to the show. What you burning on?
Yo, this your boy, Rob, man. I'm burning on Jeremy Chin. I'm burning on Jeremiah Carter, Shaq Thompson, not wrapping up, giving up containment on the left side over there the whole game. I'm burning on that, and I'm simmering on the Georgia Bulldogs, giving Jordan Davis a carry from the two-yard line. What if that man got hurt, man? We got bigger fish to fry. That touchdown was unnecessary. I'm out.
I'm sorry, Rob.
It's Bulldog Rob.
Fat guy touchdowns. You cannot shoot down fat guy touchdowns.
Are we okay with trying to get a defensive lineman to Heisman?
Yep.
These are the things you have to do.
No, I don't care about the Heisman. I care about giving 350-pound men, literal mountain of a man, Jordan Davis, a touch. I care about fat guy touchdown. Thick six all the way.
I'm sure the Jordan Davis touchdown is going to be on Big Man Baller, our homeboy, Big Swaggoo. That's my man. Marcus Spears on the Four Letter Network. Big man, they deserve the ball. Good on that. And what was that? Rob was burning on Jeremy Chin. The Carolina Panthers defense, they did miss a lot of tackles yesterday.
Tackles, penalties,
yeah.
And getting off the field on third down.
Containment, Brian Burns on the edge.
What are those first three things that I just said all a sign up?
DBO.
Well, and coaching. I hate having to continue having, what is it now, 27 games into Matt Rhule? Still wondering whether he can coach, whether his staff can coach or not. Stan, we got to keep this a little tight here, but what you burning on, buddy? Other than egress and ingress.
And that's exactly where I'm going. Listen, Charlotte, and I'm not talking about you citizens, the paying patrons, whether you're tailgating or you're going into the game. I'm not mad at you. CMPD, I love y'all. Y'all do a great job.
This is Stan Norfleet talking, by the way.
You protect my butt, and I'm very thankful. But can we come up with some plan? I was stuck on Church Street, the same block, for 40 minutes. What are we doing here? Can we get a plan? And then Bank of America Stadium. When I'm letting out, why is there one gate? So you got people coming from the Silver Club Suites, and you got people coming from coming out of the game, coming up more here. Why is there one, 5-foot-wide entrance to let people exit? Should that not be a bigger space? What are we doing here?
I have no opinions on egress.
I'm trying
ingress.
To get in and out of the stadium efficiently and safely as possible.
Thank you for making sure you were talking about the stadium there when getting in and getting out. Itty bitty fitty. What you burning on, buddy?
Somebody says, Stan, we're open to suggestions if you want to help us out. I think that's on behalf of either B of A or CMPD. Love y'all. What you got, Biddy?
I don't got a whole lot to burn on today, guys. Just a little drained from watching Carolina not make any adjustments defensively and Connecticut this weekend. And as for the Cowboys, it's really hard to be disappointed in yesterday's effort.
Yeah.
Because they played really, really well.
They did.
But the lack of adjustments I thought made by Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy was really telling. And if this team really wants to make a run at the Super Bowl, they've got to get better at in-game adjustments moving forward.
Well, that's not a Super Bowl team with that defense. That defense is what's going to...
You've got the best offense in the NFL. You're a Super Bowl caliber team.
I don't know about that. Zeke goes out with the ankle injury for a few series. I don't know. I'm just not there on Dallas Super Bowl yet.
I am burning on the new Ghostbusters film. I didn't know. It's mostly because that last Ghostbusters film, which was trash, almost killed my faith in that movie franchise. Let me tell you, Ghostbusters Afterlife is every bit as good as I wanted it to be. I wanted to go watch it again, but we had to go do something at Ray Farms. It was like an outdoor festival thing, which was good, by the way. Good job to all those people out there doing that thing.
Ray Farms?
Ray Farms out there past Blakeney. But Ghostbuster Afterlife was really, really good. I'd like to see it again. I wish I could watch it right now. That's how good it was. I would leave work right now if I didn't have to go, like, take care of my family or whatever.
Somebody should hit us up on the text line. Let me know how that King Richard is. Will Smith's performance as Venus and Serena's dad. I hear great reviews.
I might be out on Will.
Huh?
I might be out on Will.
That's a bygone to you,
no,
sir. We're not going to do that.
No.
We're not going at Will Smith, the actor.
Nobody lasts forever. Cruise had to fall off. Like, everybody's done it except Denzel.
We're not
Everybody's done it but Denzel.
We're not going at Will Smith as an actor.
Will Smith has jumped the shark. I've said it. And I hate to say it.
Let's issue an Academy by Goma, sir.
Willie P is coming up next in place for Kyle. Of course, KB's on the call tonight against Washington for the road game. Good luck to him. Best of luck to the Bailey family. That's a cool moment for him. Good job out of Itty Bitty Fitty, Stan. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until tomorrow.
Oh, you didn't even acknowledge my effort.
At 10 a.m. by Goma to you. Thanks. Stay safe and be good, Charlotte. Shut it down!
Lord, I love you, Carolina.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
See!